The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is from the Berenstain Bears Springtime Storybook, a story about clean house. So, the Berenstain Bears are cleaning, they're doing a spring cleaning, since this month is April, and that's the time to do a good spring cleaning around your house. "It is spring," said Mama Bear. "It is time to clean our house. "I will help," said Papa. "I will help," said Brother. "I will help," said Sister. "Good," said Mama. "We will clean our house from the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top." So they started at the bottom. "My goodness," said Mama, "there are too many things. It is so hard to clean with so many things." "We will have a yard sale," said Papa. We will put some things in the yard." "This is an old fish," said Brother. "It is dusty." "This is a stuffed owl," said Sister. "It is musty." "This is an old fishing pole," said Mama. "It is all bent." And the fish actually is a picture of a fish. It's not a picture of a fish. It's a real fish who's somehow been kept in some type of glaze, so it looks like it's alive, but it really isn't. And it's on a board, and many people are very fond of that type of fish because often they might have caught that fish. "Anyways, those are my things," said Papa. "But it is spring. We must clean our house." "I will put them in the yard," said Papa at last. So they went upstairs to the living room. "There are too many things here," said Papa. "We must put some in the yard," said Mama. "So what do you think they're going to put in?" "This is an old lamp. It has a crack," said Brother. "And this is an old pillow, said Sister. "It has a spot on the very back of it that can't come out." "This is an old stool," said Papa. "It has a tear." "Those are my things," said Mama. "But I will put them in the yard, too." So they went upstairs. Brothers' and sisters' rooms had many, many things. "My goodness," said Mama, "there are way too many things in this room. We must put some in the yard." "This baseball bat," said Papa, "it has a split." "This teddy bear," said Mama, "the stuffing is coming out of it." "These old games and toys," said Papa, "but they would be fun for some other girls and boys." "But those are our things," said Brother and Sister. "Okay, we will put them out in the yard." "Yes, it is spring," said Mama. "We must clean our house from the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top." But there was something they forgot. They forgot the attic. "Oh, my goodness," said Mama. "We forgot the attic." So they went up to the attic. It was bad. "Oh, my goodness," said Mama, "there are too many things." "Yes," said Papa, "many, too many things to put in the yard." They went downstairs. They went out to the yard. They made a sign. It said, "Yard sale today." They looked at the things they put in the yard. "This is hard," said Papa. "I love those things I put in the yard." "This is hard," said Mama. "I love those things I put in the yard." "This is hard," said Brother and Sister. "We love those things that we put in the yard." So they took them all up to the attic. They put them in with the other old things that they loved. "We have done our job," said Mama. "But we are not done," said Brother. "We have not cleaned the attic," said Sister. "We are done," said Mama. "But the attic will not go away. We will clean the attic another day." So they all sit down in the living room and relax. That was hard. And then outside, now the yard sale sign says, "No yard sale today." So that was the end of that. Now we're going to do another Berenstain Bears story from the same book. It's called Go Green, and it's about recycling. Bear Country was a beautiful place to live. It had green rolling hills and wide river valleys. It was a cool, shady woods and bright, sunny fields and a beautiful waterfall. There were steep cliffs and deep canyons, roaring rapids and rushing waterfalls, and it really is a beautiful place. Lots of creatures lived in the bear country besides the bears. There were deer and ducks, woodchucks and weasels. There were rabbits and raccoons, possums and porcupines. There were badgers, bats, butterflies, bugs. There's a grasshopper, there's some ladybugs, and much, much more. I don't know, and I can't, oh, there, I see some butterflies, and there's a nice owl. The bear family loved living in bear country. They always tried their best to keep it beautiful. Most of the other creatures who lived there tried their best, too. But no matter how hard you try, sometimes you run into problems. And that's just what happened. One fine morning, the bear family decided to go fishing. "Let's go down to the creek where Grizzly Gramps keeps his boat," said Papa. "We can pack a lunch and have a picnic as we fish." "Terrific," they all cried. The family packed up their fishing gear and their nice lunch and went down to the creek where they loaded into Grizzly Gramps' boat. Papa got out the oars and rowed everyone lazily along, their fishing lines out, while they ate a picnic lunch. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and all seemed right in bear country when, all of a sudden, "Pee-you," said Sister, "what is that awful smile? Excuse me, what's that awful spell?" Not a smile, but a smell. The rest of the family sat up and sniffed. "Yuck," they cried. "What is that?" They noticed something funny floating in the water. It was a streak of dark, gunky-looking stuff. It seemed to be coming from around the bend in the creek. "Uh-oh," said Papa. "I know what's around that bend." Soon they could all see it. The bear country dump. There's all the trash from the people all piled up in bags and boxes and old TVs and all old toys and, you know, old mattresses, and the garbage was leaking out and everything smelled so horrible. "Wow," said Brother, "what a mess." It was indeed a mess. There were wrecked cars, old mattresses, busted TV sets, broken washing machines, and piles of trash and garbage. But the worst mess was the bunch of leaky old oil drums that someone had dumped right on the edge of the creek. Gooey, smelly, black oil was leaking into the water. Oh, no, that's really hard to get out of the water. "This is a disgrace," said Mama. She hated to see her beloved bear country treated in this way. Mama had even been the mayor of bear country for a time. "This has got to be cleaned up," she said. "We will go to the town meeting and complain." "Yes," said Brother. "Go, Mama," said Sister. "Go, go," said Honey the baby. At the next town meeting, the bear family and many other bears filled the town hall. Mayor Honeypot was on the stage. He rapped the desk with a gavel. "Ahem," he said, "this meeting is called to order. Is there any new business?" Mama stood up to speak, but another bear jumped up before her. "Mr. Mayor," said he, complained, "I am Mr. Greenwood, and I have come to complain about the disgraceful state of the bear country dump." And Mama sat down to listen. "Oil is leaking from the dump into the creek," said Mr. Greenwood. "What are you going to do about it, Mr. Mayor?" Mr. Mayor Honeypot was surprised. "I did not know about that. We will have a clean-up of the dump right away. Will any of you here volunteer to help?" Everyone at the meeting raised their hands very quickly, especially Mama, Papa, and the cubs. A few days later, it seemed like most of Bear Country was down at the dump. Everyone pitched in to clean up the trash and the junk. Much of it would be mixed with earth so that trees could grow on it. They hauled away the oil drums and put them in a safer spot far, far, far from the creek. What a mess they are having to clean up. As the Bear family headed for home, Sister was thoughtful. You know, she said, it's good to clean up the dump, but there's lots more we can do to make Bear Country clean and green. We can do things right here at home. We have been learning about it in school. Like once, said Papa. Well, Sister began, we can recycle and compost. We can stop wasting water and energy at home, added Brother. And, said Mama, we can carpool with other families going to school or shopping so that we won't waste gas. And here it shows Sister Bear putting all their bottles to go in the recycling bin in a special garbage can, and all the banana peels and other food garbage like lettuce leaves, eggshells, not meat pieces, but things like, you know, old carrots or cuttings from beets or something, all in the compost pile, where it will be eventually turned into good soil to help the plants grow. And there's Brother turning off the water in the toilet so it wouldn't drip, and using a different kind of light bulb, not the regular high energy light bulb, but the low energy light bulb that saves a lot of electricity. And there are four ladies going to the grocery store all together as in one car so that they don't waste gas. There's Mrs. Bruin and Mrs. McGrizzery, and Mrs. McGrizz, Miss Brown, Grizzly Gran, and Mama Bear. They're all in the car together, shopping together and not wasting gas. But Papa had the best going green idea of all. He rigged up a windmill on the top of his workshop to power some of his tools. I think wind power is the best kind of energy there is, he explained. It's clean. It's there any windy day you want it. And best of all, he added, it's absolutely, totally free. Whee, said Honey, holding up her little windmill to catch the wind. And there the windmill is going round and round in the breeze. And that's the end of the Berenstain Bears Spring Storybooks stories. So anyways, let's see what was going to come next. Do any of you know who George Washington was? He was the first president of our country when America became free, way back, almost 300 years ago, 250 years ago at least. And this is a story about when he was young. It's a very famous story about George Washington. It's called George Washington and the Cherry Tree. And it talks about the importance of always telling the truth, no matter how you might feel about what might happen to you if you do tell the truth. Anyways, here we go. When George Washington was a little boy, he lived on a farm in Virginia. His father taught him to ride, and he used to take young George about the farm with him so that his son might learn how to take care of the fields and the horses and the cattle when he grew older. Mr. Washington had planted an orchard of fine fruit trees. There were apple trees, peach trees, pear trees, plum trees, and cherry trees. Once a particularly fine cherry tree was sent to him from far across the ocean. Mr. Washington planted it on the edge of the orchard. He told everyone on the farm to watch it carefully to see that it was not broken or hurt in any way. It grew well, and one spring it was finally covered with white blossoms. Mr. Washington was pleased to think he would soon have cherries from the little tree. Now, just about that time, young George was given a shiny new hatchet. George took it and went about chopping sticks, hacking into the rails of fences, and cutting whatever he passed. At last he came to the edge of the orchard, and thinking only of how well his hatchet could cut. He chopped into the little cherry tree. The bark was soft, and it cut so easily that George chopped the tree right down and then went on with his play. That evening, Mr. Washington came from inspecting the farm. He sent his horse to the stable and walked down to the orchard to look at his little cherry tree. He stood in amazement when he saw that it was all cut. Who would have dared to do such a thing? He asked everyone, but no one could tell him anything about it. Just then George passed by. "George," said his father in an angry voice, "do you know who killed my cherry tree?" Now that was a tough question, and George staggered under it for a moment, but quickly recovered. "I cannot tell a lie, father," he said. "I did it with my new hatchet." Mr. Washington looked at George. The boy's face was white, but he looked straight into his father's eyes. "Go into the house, son," said Mr. Washington sternly. George went into the library and waited for his father. He was very unhappy and very much ashamed. He knew he had been foolish and thoughtless, and that his father was right to be pleased and to punish him. Soon Mr. Washington came into the room. George went over to his father. Mr. Washington looked at him long and steadily. "Tell me, son, why did you cut the tree?" "I was playing, and I did not think," George stammered. "And now my tree will die. You shall never have any cherries from it. But worse than that, you have failed to take care of the tree when I asked you to do so." George's head was bent, and his cheeks were red from shame. "I am so sorry, father," he said. Mr. Washington put his hand on the boy's shoulder. "Look at me," he said. "I am sorry to have lost my beautiful cherry tree, but I am glad that you were brave enough to tell me the truth. I would rather have you truthful and brave than to have a whole orchard full of the finest cherry trees. And never forget that, my son." George Washington never did forget. To the end of his life, he was just as brave and as honorable as he was that day as a little boy. And that's the end of that story. Now, there's one more story from this same book, and this is called Please and Please, about having good manners. There was once a little word named please that lived in a small boy's mouth. Pleases lived in everybody's mouth, though people often forget they're there. Now, all pleases, to be kept strong and happy, should be taken out of the mouth very often so they can get air. They are like the little fish in a bowl, you know, that come popping to the top of the water to breathe. The please I am going to tell you about lived in the mouth of a boy named Dick, but only once in a very long while did it have the chance to get out. For Dick, I am sorry to say, was a very rude little boy. He hardly ever remembered to say, please. "Give me some bread. I want some water. Give me that book." That is the way he would ask for things. His mother and father felt very bad about this. And as for the poor please itself, it would sit up on the roof of the boy's mouth day after day, hoping for a chance to get out once in a while. It was growing weaker and weaker every day. This boy Dick had a brother named John. Now John was older than Dick. He was almost 10, and he was just as polite as Dick was rude. So his please had plenty of fresh air and was strong and happy. One day at breakfast, Dick's please felt that he must have some fresh air right away, even if he had to run away. So out he ran, out of Dick's mouth, and took a long breath, and then he crept across the table and jumped into John's mouth. The please, who lived there, was very angry. "Get out," he said. "You don't belong here. This is my mouth." "I know it," said Dick's please. "I live over there in that brother's mouth, but alas, I am not happy there. I am never used. I thought you might be willing to let me stay here for a day or so until I felt stronger." "Why, certainly," said the other please kindly. "I understand. Stay, of course, and when my master uses me, we will both go out together. He is kind, and I'm sure he would not mind saying please twice. Stay as long as you like." Then at noon, at lunchtime, John wanted some butter, and this is what he said. "Father, Will you pass me the butter, please? Please? But certainly, said the father, but why be so very polite? John did not answer. He was turning to his mother and said, Mother, will you give me a muffin, please? Please? His mother laughed. You shall have the muffin, my dear, but why do you say please, please, twice? I don't know, answered John. The words just seemed to jump out of my mouth. Somehow, Katie, please, please, some water. And this time John was almost frightened. Well, well, said his father, there was no harm done. One can't be too pleasing in this world. All this time little Dick had been calling, Give me an egg, I wanted some milk, give me a spoon, in the rude way that he had. But now he stopped and listened to his brother. He thought it would be fun to try and talk like John, so he began, Mother, will you give me a muffin? He was trying to say please, but how could he? He never guessed that his own little please was now sitting in his brother John's mouth. So he tried again and asked for butter. Mother, will you pass me the butter? And that was all he could say. So it went on all day, and everyone wondered what was the matter with these two boys. When night came, they were both so tired, and Dick was so cross that their mother sent them to bed very early. But the next morning, no sooner had they sat down at the breakfast table than Dick's please ran home again. He had had so much fresh air the day before that now he was feeling quite strong and happy. And the very next moment he had another airing, for Dick said, Father, will you cut my orange, please? Why, the word had slipped out as easily as it could be. It sounded just as good as when John said it. And John was only saying one please at a time this morning. And from that time on, little Dick was just as polite as his brother. That's sort of a funny story, but it is sort of true about being polite to other people. Our next story is called The Story of Little Babaji, and it's written by a lady named Helen Bannerman. Once upon a time, there was a little boy, and his name was Little Babaji, and his mother was called Mamaji, and his father was called Papaji, and his mama made him a beautiful little red coat and a pair of beautiful little blue trousers. And Papaji went to the bazaar and bought him a beautiful green umbrella and a lovely pair of purple shoes and crimson soles and with crimson linings. And then wasn't little Babaji grand? So he put all of his fine clothes and went out for a walk into the jungle. And by he met a tiger, and the big tiger said, Little Babaji, I'm going to eat you up. And little Babaji said, Oh, please, Mr. Tiger, don't eat me up, and I'll give you my very beautiful red coat. So the tiger said, Very well, I won't eat you this time. You must give me your beautiful little red coat. So Tiger got poor little Babaji's beautiful little red coat and went away saying, Now I am the grandest tiger in all the jungle. And little Babaji went on, and by he met another tiger, and it said to him, Little Babaji, I'm going to eat you up. And little Babaji said, Oh, please, Mr. Tiger, don't eat me up, and I'll give you my beautiful blue trousers. So the tiger said, Very well, I won't eat you this time, but you must give me your beautiful little blue trousers. And so the tiger got poor little Babaji's beautiful little blue trousers and went away saying, Now I'm the grandest tiger in the jungle. And little Babaji went on, and by a by he was met by another tiger, and it said to him, Little Babaji, I'm going to eat you up. And little Babaji said, Oh, please, Mr. Tiger, don't eat me up, and I'll give you my beautiful little purple coat, purple shoes, with crimson soles and crimson linings. But the tiger said, What use would your shoes be to me? I've got 4 feet, and you've only got 2, and you haven't got enough shoes for me. But little Babaji said, But you could wear them on your ears. So I could, said the tiger. That's a very good idea. Give them to me, and I won't eat you this time. So the tiger got poor little Babaji's beautiful little purple shoes with the crimson linings and the red and the crimson soles, and went away saying, Now I am the grandest tiger in all the jungle. And by, little Babaji met another tiger, and it said to him, "Little Babaji, I'm going to eat you up." And little Babaji said, "Oh, please, Mr. Tiger, don't eat me up, and I'll give you my beautiful green umbrella." But the tiger said, "How can I handle an umbrella? I need all my paws for walking." "You could tie a knot in your tail and carry it that way," said little Babaji. "Oh, so I could," said the tiger. "Give it to me, and I won't eat you this time." So he got poor little Babaji's beautiful green umbrella and went away saying, "Now I'm the grandest tiger in the jungle." And poor little Babaji went away crying because the cruel tigers had taken all his fine clothes. And then he heard a noise that sounded like grrrr, and it got louder and louder. "Oh dear," said little Babaji, "there are all the tigers coming back to eat me up. What shall I do?" So he quickly ran up a palm tree and peeked around to see what was the matter. There saw all the tigers fighting and disputing which of them was the grandest. And at last they got so angry that they jumped, took off the fine clothes, and began to tear each other with their claws and bite each other with their great big white teeth. And they came rolling and tumbling right to the foot of the very tree where little Babaji was hiding. But he jumped in quickly behind the green umbrella that was on the ground. All the tigers caught hold of each other's tails, and they wrangled and scrambled so they found themselves in a ring around the tree. And then the tigers were very, very far away and called out from little, and little Babaji called out when he, "Oh, tigers, why have you taken off all your night clothes? Don't you want them anymore?" But the tigers only answered, "Grrr." And little Babaji said, "If you want them, say so, and I'll take them away." But the tigers would not let go of each other's tails, and all they could say was grrr. So little Babaji put on all his fine clothes again, and the tigers were so angry that they ran around the tree, trying to eat each other up faster and faster, till they were running around so fast that you couldn't see their legs at all, and they went faster and faster, till they all just melted away, and there was nothing left but a great big pool of melted butter, or ghee, as it is called in India, around the foot of the tree. Now, Papaji was just coming home from work with a great big brass pot in his arms, and when he saw what was left of all the tigers, he said, "Oh, what lovely melted butter. I'll take that home." So he put it all in the big brass pot and went home for Mamaji to cook. But Mamaji saw the melted butter. Wasn't she pleased? "And now I'll make a big pot of, we'll all have a huge pot pan of pancakes for supper." So she turned all that into pancakes for supper, and little Babaji came home in his fine new clothes, and then Mamaji ate 27 pancakes, and Papaji ate 55, but little Babaji ate 169, because he was so very hungry. And just in time, we have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen again for the North Carolina. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Or please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.